And first up in that vein, Amanda, my co-chair, who's an amazing lawyer to work with, and I really enjoy planning with her because she's such a, she's so smart, she gets right to the point, and she has an excellent way with words. She's a member of the Texas Bar College. She's been honored by inclusion in Who's Who in America, Who's Who in America Law, Who's Who of American Women. That's the triumvirate of Who's Who's. And she's also included in the 30th edition of the Best Lawyers in America, which she earned that. She's an excellent lawyer for her expertise in banking and finance law. She will be joined virtually by Dick White, who is also been included in the Best Lawyers in America, Super Lawyers of Texas, Who's Who in America, and Who's Who American Law, and Who's Who in the World. Amanda, maybe you gotta, you know, add that one to your aspirational levels. But with no further ado, I know they do a great job, and thank you to the Winstead firm for doing this and for all your contributions to this conference. But without further ado, I'm going to let her get into our cases.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. We look forward to telling you all about what has happened in the judiciary in the last year. Although, to be honest, it's not particularly exciting. I don't know if it's a post-pandemic thing or what, but the case law this year is really boring, so I apologize in advance. We'll do our best to try to keep you guys awake. As you can see, my colleague Dick White is zooming in. He had an unfortunate incident which has prevented him from traveling, but I think you'll find he's just as amusing via Zoom. Dick, would you like to start?
I'm ready. You hear me? Amanda?
We can hear you.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go. So if you'll click to the first slide, we'll get started. And I just want to apologize for not being there in person, but I wasn't able to travel. So I'll try to honor Amanda's humor comments. This may be the only funny case we have. This case, Mr. Who talked Miss England into buying a home for him. He apparently didn't have the money, and she apparently wasn't represented, or not by good of counsel anyway. So Miss England bought him the property, transferred it to him, did not get a note or deed of trust. Apparently he stopped paying, or something made her get worried. So she did go to court and obtained a purchase money equitable lien. And then Mr. Who filed bankruptcy. And of course he had a discharge. And then Miss England decided she needed to further pursue her judicial remedies and file a suit. Or started abstracting her judgment. And then Mr. Who alleged that those were discharged in his bankruptcy. And so this case followed from that. And the issue came down to whether the bankruptcy code, which fixes a lien on exempt property only if they're judicial lien. So the issue was whether the equitable lien and the abstract of judgment were enforceable now after the bankruptcy. So the court held that the purchase money equitable lien was established by operation of law, wasn't, even though it was acknowledged by the court in her judgment, it wasn't established by that. So therefore, it was not a judicial lien and was not discharged by her bankruptcy. Although her efforts in abstracting the judgment constituted, which was created by her judicial ruling or order and judgment, that lien was held to be a judicial lien, and therefore it was discharged in bankruptcy. All right, Amanda, next slide, please. All right, this one is a forcible detainer action, and Capital Plus foreclosed, sent out a notice to vacate, and Lua didn't vacate, so they filed an eviction suit. So in that suit, Capital Plus supported their rights with a trustee's deed, They entered the notice to vacate in evidence, and they, of course, entered the deed of trust, which had a tenants at sufferance clause, which, if you'll recall, I think we've talked about it in prior cases, is very important to have in the FED actions.